So when Art is giving communion thoughts, and he talks about being an adopted child, that has a little bit different meaning when Art says it, with his house full of adopted children. Amen?
Yes.
And so just thank you, not just for your words, but for the life that you and Betty have lived, the life song that you have lived, that Jesus signs his name at the end of your day, every day, Art and Betty, and we thank you for who you are to us.
Yes.
So then I sort of usually kind of pay attention to the songs that we're going to sing. No, I always actually pay attention to the songs that we're going to sing, but sometimes they just hit me at the last minute. And so this one did. And so, let me see if I can work this thing good.
You may have to turn it on.
You know what? That always helps. Technology has an on button. Oh, see? Just because technology doesn't.
Okay, it's just, going backwards.
I'm wanting to go backwards. That's good. Okay, that's enough audience participation. I'll tell you when it's time to go. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you. Today we're going to take a look backward at 2018. And I just thought about that as we're reading, looking back at 2018, when you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust in you. Have you ever prayed, did you ever pray a prayer in 2018 that God seemed to not be coming along at the speed that you wished he would? I will trust. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go that you haven't already stood. And when you don't move the mountains that I'm needing you to move. How many of you this year were asking God to move some mountains in your life, in your work, in your family, in our nation, in our world? We were asking God, what's up? What are you doing? Where are you? When you don't move the mountains I'm needing you to move, when you don't part the waters I wish I could walk through, when you don't give the answers, I'll cry out and I will trust in you. So today, there's not a handout. But there might be some things you want to write down. So if you have some piece of paper or something along, you might want to do that. I don't have my head mic on or the scotch tape on my face. I'm reading my notes out of my spiral notebook. I'm dropping my stuff. So 2018. Today we're going to take a little bit of a look at the past and a little bit of a look at the future and think about that over the next couple of days. This is not a New Year's resolution kind of sermon, but it is a time for us to think about what's happened, what is happening, and where is God at work. So, Charles Dickens. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom, it was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief, it was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light, it was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. Tale of Two Cities, but it's also a tale of many of our lives in 2018. For me, some of the best things that happened in my life happened in 2018. For me, some of the worst things that ever happened in my life happened in 2018. I want to read a couple of scriptures that's going to kind of frame today, the talk. In a few minutes, Sarah is going to speak to you for a few minutes. But first, Psalm 40. And I'm going to read Psalm 40 out of the New Living Translation. Psalm 40, verse 3. I love Psalm 40, of course, because U2 sings a song called 40, and it is Psalm 40. So if U2 sang it, I like it. So in the New Living Translation, it says, verse 3, this is us for today and going forward. Wait, just a second. So on the way over here, I'm listening to music on Spotify, and a song by King & Country, I don't know if you've heard them before, King & Country, a Christian singing group, sings a song called Burn the Ships. Burn the Ships, in reference to Cortez when he came from Europe over to the Americas, and he burned the ships. He wasn't going to go back. They have a Christian song, Burn the Ships, recommending it to you, but now we're back to Psalm 40. That's the thing you write down, Burn the Ships. Go look at the lyrics and listen to it. David says, this is after he had been pulled up. After, verse 1, he waited patiently for the Lord. Verse 2, the Lord pulled him up out of the pit. And verse 3 says, he has given me a new song to sing. He's given me a new song to sing. It's a hymn of praise. The new song he's given me isn't a dirge. It is a hymn of praise. It's a hymn of praise to our God that many will see what he's done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. This is the new song he's giving us, is a song of praise so that many will see what he's done. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. 2018 had some trouble. But I'm standing here today looking not backward but forward. He's given me a new song to sing. So in 2 Corinthians 5, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the new creation. And the old is gone, and the new has come. This is us. We're standing here, sitting, you are actually, in this moment between 2018, and we're looking back, 2019, and we're looking forward, and in the present, we've been talking about prayer, in the present, and this scripture in Luke 11, it begins Jesus teaching his disciples on prayer, and Jesus' teachings begin with this ask. If you're going to ask God, what are you going to ask for? What would be the number one thing you'd ask for? Your kingdom come, your will be done. He's not talking about in the past. He's not talking about the good old days. He's not talking about remembering the way it was when life was good. But he's saying, no, I'm asking your kingdom to come, not in the future, not in the days when we're going to die and go to heaven. He says, I want your kingdom to come right now in the present. This is what we're asking God. Our ask is not for the day when we die. It's not for the day when he takes us to heaven. Our ask for the kingdom to come is now. It's in the present. We're asking in the present, your kingdom come. And then he ends this teaching. He ends this teaching in Luke 11 about prayer. Ask for the kingdom. But then also he says, ask for this, ask for this. And he goes through this. And he says, and ask for the Holy Spirit to come. Ask for the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to end up today asking for the Holy Spirit. But I want to think about this idea of being between the old and the new. And how do you do that? There's some things about the way it was. There's some things about the way things used to be. There's some things about people that we love that we're not around anymore that I don't want to just lose that completely. But how do I go from now into the future? I want to tell a couple of stories from the Bible and from the audience. You have stories I'm going to tell. Elisha, in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. I've told this story before, but because it's one of my favorites, you'll know it as good as I do before we're done, okay? Elijah, the prophet, comes to call Elisha to be a prophet with him. And when he does, he comes to his town, and Elisha is, this is always kind of confusing, Elisha and Elijah and their pals, you know, why do you have such close names like that? I don't know. It's like Bob and Rob. Let's go, Bob and Rob. Let's go, Elijah, Elisha. Well, anyway, I got focus, Bobby. Okay. Elisha is a farmer. He's a farmer. And when Elijah comes up to him, he's out in the field, and he has 12 pair of oxen plowing. So he's just not a farmer on his own. He's got some people working for him. He's got 12 pair of oxen. He's on the 12th pair of oxen. They're yoked together, and they're plowing. And Elijah says, come with me. I want you to be my partner. And Elisha says, okay, can I go tell mom and dad goodbye? And Elijah says, yes, go tell your mom and dad goodbye. And then he kind of like this. This is what I look at it. He says, oh, God. What have I done to this kid? I ruined his life by him coming with me. Because Elijah knows it's hard to be a prophet. And so what Elisha does, though, because he's had a good life to this point, but now then he's being called to something new. He's being called to something different. And what he does is he goes and he takes the yoke that keep his oxen together. He has 12 of them. He burns them. He kills his oxen, he feeds the city, and he leaves. Symbolically, Elisha not going to be a farmer anymore. He was a farmer in 2018. He ain't going to be a farmer in 2019. He's killed his oxen. He's burned his yokes. He's done. He's going on a new path. Was there something bad or wrong about being a farmer? Nope. But there was something new that he was getting ready to do. You remember, this is what we've talked about for the last several weeks. There was a creator who became a created one. His name was Jesus. He left home to come here. There was a day when the carpenter's boy left the carpenter shop, right? There was a day when that happened. There was a day when the fishermen left their nets. They weren't doing anything bad by fishing, but there was something else that they were meant to do, that they were destined to do, and they had to say goodbye to this in order to do that. They had to say goodbye to some things in order to say yes to what God was wanting them to do. The carpenter became a rabbi. That's what he did. He left the carpenter shop. And some of us are going to leave some things in order to embrace what God is wanting us to do. We're going to leave some people. We're going to leave some jobs. We're going to leave some cities or towns. We're going to leave some ways of life. We're going to leave some patterns of thinking. We're going to leave some things in order to hold on to and embrace and fully chase what God is calling us to do. I want you to think about it in your life right now, you in your life. We're not carpenters here. We're not fishermen here. Well, we're semi-carpenters, some of us. But we're not that, but we are what? Is God calling you to leave something behind? That's what I'm asking you today. Is God asking you to leave something behind? It maybe it's just a way of thinking. Maybe it's a pattern of the way you spend your time and money. Is God asking you to do something different Something new. Now then, there's another way that this happened. When God calls people to do something new. And sometimes he asks them not just to do something new and leave the old ways behind, but to build on the old ways, that the old ways have become a foundation. This is the story of Timothy. So Paul is traveling around, he's preaching the gospel, and he gets stoned. Not with marijuana. He gets actually, you know, rocked. Well, you know what I mean. People threw rocks at him, and he almost died. So he was in Lystra. And in Lystra, this happened to him, but because he's hard-headed, he went back a year later. And when he goes back, there was this kid who had heard about him, and his kid's name was Timothy. And Timothy, he said, Tim, pretty sure he called him Tim, come with me. Tim left home. He went with Paul. He went to prison with Paul. He got stoned with Paul. He went to places that he had never been before with Paul. He went on assignments that Paul gave him. He left home to go. But at the end of Paul's life, he tells Timothy about his future. And you're going to do something even different that you haven't even done yet, Timothy. You're going to be the leader of the church in Ephesus. You're going to be the head guy in the church in Ephesus. But I don't want you to just leave everything behind. All your past, all of your 2018, 2017, all your going, I don't want you to leave it behind. I want you to take it with you. You're going to do something different. You're going to do something new. But the places you've been, the things you've known, I want you to take them with you. So this morning, pretty unique situation and that we got four generations sitting right here, and I'm asking them to come up here and stand up. I'm going to tell their story. Okay? And you need to stand in, you know, chronological order. So Mom was born in Temple, Texas, grew up in San Saba, Texas, went to Abilene Christian College, and met that guy, okay? Everybody just point it and say, that guy. They met that guy. And he said, as God directed, we're going to go places. We're not going to stay in San Saba. So he went to Lampasas, 30 miles away. But after 2 years of that, he said, I ain't staying here either. We're going to go. So Patsy had a really handsome son, and then a daughter, and this was Sally. The daughter was Sally. And Sally traveled around with Patsy and Jerry and went from place to place, from Dallas to San Antonio to Korea to Kansas to Abilene. And then Sally's growing up in Abilene. And then she marries a guy who y'all, many of you know, some of you have just heard him about as a legend, Olin, and he said, we're going to Arlington. And so she leaves home. She leaves home. And then there's Sarah. And Sarah grew up here, right here. Well, there was a few other rooms besides this one, but in this church. And then because the Spirit of God came upon her, she decided she's going to go to New York. And then God is saying all this from here to here to here. And then in New York, she has this little girl. Look at her. She's looking around at the audience. Hallie. Okay, this is the story of Timothy right in front of you. Now you get... Ladies, y'all can go sit down. So here's Paul writing from prison to his buddy and the younger buddy, Timothy. And he says, Tim, I want you to remember some things. First of all, I want you to remember who taught you about Jesus. This is Sarah. This is the story of Sarah. Who taught you about Jesus? Your mother and your grandmother. And now I want you, God wants you, you're going to be the leader of this church. And Sarah's like, I'm going to be the leader. She's going to be, God says, you're going to be the leader of this ministry in New York, Ephesus. New York, the Ephesus of that world. You're going to be the leader. But I don't want you to forget what you learned from your mother. I don't want you to forget what you learned from your grandmother. But you're going to have to leave some things behind. You can't hold on to the past as if it was the past that's what's saving you, or the past is directing you. We've often made an idol of the past. And when we worship the good old days, we fall under one of the greatest, I think, temptations that Satan puts in front of us, to make an idol of the past. He says, yeah, I don't want you to do what something that's done in the past. I'm giving you a new song to sing and a new place to sing. But I don't want you to forget everything. I want you to take it with you. I want you to adapt it to your new situation. And this is what Sarah has done. So she's going to come and speak for just a minute about some of the ways that this has happened. And she said she's not going to talk long, but I know her. So I said, however long it is. So she's going to talk to us a little bit about her journey and some recent things that have happened in the Bronx.
Well, I was just going to tell one story, and that was not going to be long. But then after you just talked, I am going to tell the second story, so it might be a little longer. So Bob asked me to share a couple of things that are happening at A House on Beekman, some things that are happening that are new. And so one of the biggest things that has been a focus of ours this year is reinvesting in our Babies to Three program. So I lead an organization called A House on Beekman, for those of you who don't know, and we work with kids and families in the South Bronx in New York City starting at birth. And right now we have programs from birth all the way through eighth grade. And so this program called Babies to Three, it serves moms, dads, aunts, caregivers, anyone who has a child from birth, or even really starting when women are pregnant, through 3 years old. And that was the first program that we ever started at A House on Beekman. We actually called it Mommy and Me back then, but then we changed the name so that dads could come and aunts could come and whatever. So Babies to Three. It started with four pregnant women in an abandoned church at the end of Beekman Avenue, and that's how House on Beekman started. And then we, you know, when those kids grew up, then we started a preschool for them, and then an after-school program, and a House on Beekman grew. And Babies to Three was always sort of the foundation, but in the last few years, it's gone through some different leadership. There's been different people leading that program. And there's one person, the last person who has been leading it, her name is Jo Smari. And under her leadership, that program went from just a handful of parents and caregivers to over 100 people participating in that program every year. And we had kind of been focusing on other things, getting our preschool up and running and the after-school program up and running. And then last year, we turned around and we realized Babies to Three has 100 people in it, 100 people participating in it every year. And it is still, in an infrastructure kind of way, operating as if it were the first year. It has a part-time leader. Jasmari was only doing that part-time. It has part-time space. Just whenever preschool wasn't using the preschool classrooms, that's when Babies to Three would use those classrooms. And so we said, we need to make it a priority this year to reinvest in Babies to Three, because it's grown past what it is right now. And so there were a couple of big decisions that we had to make around staffing to figure out how we were going to do that. And so a big part of that was Jo Smari, because she was doing the Babies to Three part-time, and then she was also teaching one of our preschool classes part-time, because our threes classes were part-time then. And this year, our threes classes became full-time. So Jasmari had a decision to make. Am I going to do Babies to Three full-time, or am I going to do the threes program full-time? And one thing that's important about that in Josmari's story is Josmari is an inspiring, incredible woman who is doing something in our neighborhood that's not done very often. She had kids when she was really young, but decided that's not going to keep me from doing what I think God is wanting me to do. And so she, even with small children, went to college and now is working to get her master's degree. And to get her master's degree, she has to, in early childhood education, she has to be a full-time teacher. And so that was gonna mean leaving behind Babies to Three, which is a program that she really built and flourished under her. And so that was a hard decision for her. Am I gonna stay doing Babies to Three, which I love, but I think it's time to move on from that and let someone else take the reins so that I can do this other thing that I really feel like I need to do. And so she made the really hard decision to say, okay, I'm gonna do this Threes teach, I'm gonna be a full-time Threes teacher at a house on Beekman and give the reins of Babies to Three, her baby, to somebody else so that I can pursue my master's and do something that's not done really in the Bronx from a woman who's born and raised in the Bronx. And so that was a big decision that she had to make. So then we had to find someone to lead Babies to Three. And so we searched, we put out a job description, we're searching for the right person to lead Babies to Three, and we interviewed this woman named Jesenia. And Jesenia is an incredible woman who is working at this very large nonprofit. She had a great job in this organization, and it was a really stable gig. This is a huge nonprofit. Her job was going nowhere. She was on a comfortable track if she was gonna keep going in that place. But she knew that that God was asking her to do something new. But she was very scared to leave the safe, comfortable place that she was in this other organization. So she was kind of interviewing other places, knowing that God was asking her to do something else, but was very afraid, and she was really upfront with me about that. I'm scared to leave the stable life that I have to come join this small, young nonprofit that is a new thing, and to do something that she was gonna, in that role, in that program, she would have a ton of responsibility and freedom and autonomy, which was exciting to her but also scary, and to join this mission that God is doing that was going to be a big leap of faith for her. But she prayed a lot and felt like God was asking her to leave that job and to come work for House on Beekman to reinvest and relaunch kind of our Babies to Three program. And another thing that was really scary for that about her is that the resource of trust, or the thing of trust, is has huge importance in our neighborhood. And so here she was gonna be, this new person coming into this organization where all of these families, these 100 people, loved Josmari and loved what Josmari had done. And a huge reason why that program grew the way that it did was because Josmari is amazing at building relationships. And everyone loves her and it comes to be in relationship with her. And so Jesenia didn't know how that was gonna work out. I'm coming in, this new person, kind of taking over all of these relationships that Josmari has built and stewarded and poured her whole self into. And so Jesenia knew that if she were going to come in and be successful at a house on Beekman, she was not going to be able to just come in and stomp on everything and say, this is my way, my vision, this is what I'm doing. She was going to have to respect the foundation that had been laid by Josmari and build upon that foundation that had already been laid. And so that's what she did. She came in for the first several months. She didn't do anything. She just built relationships with people in our neighborhood and with the families that Josmari had built. And she started with the things that Josmari had done. And now, so that program has been kind of relaunched now for 3 months. And last year, that program had 2 classes a week. This year, Now, in the last 3 months, that program has 7 classes a week that are packed out. Monday, she does home visits and stuff on Tuesday. Wednesday, packed out. Thursday, packed out. Friday, packed out. And in January, she's starting a class on Saturday. So she has done something new, building on a foundation that was already built. And then those were the stories that I was going to tell. And now here's the bonus story. So there is a boy in our preschool, and because this is taped, I'll call him Bob. And Bob, so he's four. And in his 4 years of life, he has faced some really significant trauma. Things that I will never have to face in my entire life, already in his first 4 years. And that has left him with some very big wounds and some very deep scars already at 4 years old. And so that manifests itself in some really scary ways in the way that he interacts with other people, in the other kids in our four-year-old classroom. And so our teachers, Josmari is one of his teachers, work with him on a daily basis to work through this trauma that Bob brings with him to school every day. And we have seen from the beginning of the school year until now, so in the 3-4 months, he was spending the majority of the day outside of the classroom because of his destructive patterns. And now he goes days, a whole week, without coming outside of the classroom once, because he's able to interact with other kids in a healthy way because he's been working through that trauma, because Josmari said yes and has been working with Bob through his trauma every day. But here's what the work that Bob had to do is he had to let go of the old patterns that were inside of him and take hold of a new way of operating inside that classroom. He had to release the anger and the wounds and the ways of thinking, the lies that he believed, and the frustration that lived inside of his body. He had to be able to release that and to trust people, to trust Josmari, to trust his friends in the class. And he could not take hold of playing and exploring and doing all of the things that a four-year-old should do when they come to school. He couldn't do those things before because he was holding on to his wounds and his pain. But because he's been able to let go of those things to Josmari and others who have been walking with him, he now can spend all day in the classroom playing and learning new things and building in the block area and doing things that are helping him to be able to thrive.
When I was there just a few months ago, I watched Bob break out of the classroom and just want to fight everybody he saw, including Josmari, who took a foot in the face. But she's willing to take a foot in the face for this kid. And now God is at work, right? Because both Bob and Josmari were willing to take a risk on doing something new, trying something new, trusting in a new way. 2018 was the best of times and the worst of times. But now God is calling us into something new and different. Not to live in the past, not to make shrines to the past, not to forget the past, but to take what we've learned in the past and use it for this new thing God is doing in us. So, someone might ask, how was your year? I said, well, depends on how you measure. If you just measure what happened, that would be one thing. But we're not that people. We're the people who measure, how did we respond to good things? How did we respond to hard things? By faith or by fear? Fear has gripped our world. Always has. Our response can be to be afraid or trust God. When good things happen, what do? Do we thank God, the giver of good things, or we pat ourselves on, we figured that out? I want to be the kind of people, I want us to be the kind of church that trusts God and His promises, not trust just our ability to figure it out. We serve, we live by the grace of God. And He's calling us to do something new and different. Something new and good. Some of the new things we're going to do would be to persist in new ways with some old things. Does that make sense? Okay, we're going to persist in some new ways and do some of the old things. And I don't know, you know, some of us are like this. I don't know where Jackie came from. Do y'all know where Jackie came from? I kind of barely know Jackie's story. I know a little bit about it. But she had to leave somewhere to get to here. And we say, thank God, right?
Yes.
Because we've seen her do some things that we always do here in a pretty different way. And in this, showing us some things about generosity, right? And about faith and about trust. Doing some old things, but in new ways. I don't know what 2019 holds for us. I'm planning on being back next Sunday. But if Jesus takes me, I'll be okay. I'm planning on all of you coming back, except maybe not Mom and Dad and Sarah. But we're going to do some new things in some new ways. We're going to do some old things in some new ways this year. We're going to let Lucas just beat on that drum whenever he wants to.
That's right.
But we're going to sing this song, New Hallelujah. And I want to kind of go through the lyrics as we do it. And I'm going to read them, and then we'll stand and sing this song together. Can you hear? There's a new song. Breaking out from the children of freedom. That'd be us, the children of freedom. Every race and every nation, sing it out. Sing a new hallelujah. And if you're cool, you go, yeah. Let us sing love to the nations, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make it known and make Him famous. Sing it out, a new hallelujah. Arise, let the church arise. Let love reach to the other side. Alive, come alive, let the song arise. Africa, and you're going to, when it gets to Africa, you're going to say any country, city, or town that's on your heart, okay? We may not all sing the same word right here. I'm not. But we're going to sing a new song, reaching out with a new hallelujah. Every son and every daughter, everyone sing a new hallelujah. Arise, let the church arise. Let love reach to the other side. Alive, come alive, let the song arise. Everyone sing a new hallelujah. Everyone sing a new hallelujah. Let's stand up and we're going to sing together.